going to be with all of you this morning at a wedding down in Hague. And Father Ali was good in letting me take the Mass here at my home parish this morning. This parish I love. It has the most beautiful stained glass windows, perhaps in the whole parish Christian world. And they're beautiful themselves. And I love, too, that you notice the names of the families who are some of the cornerstones of this parish. And they act almost as foundational stones underneath each of the stained glass windows. The families whose names are there, and the families who have come in the years since, whose faith is the foundation of this church, both physically in building and keeping it up, but even more spiritually, the faith of the families. And you think about your own families, everyone. Think how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years that the faith has gone back to. Wherever you came from, German, Russian, Irish, Swiss, all over the world. You have ancestors that they at some point received the faith. They held on to the faith and they passed it on to the next generation. It's amazing to think about the endurance of that. We're saying at the beginning of Mass, faith of our fathers. That's a faith which has endured much, but has been held on through much, and it has been passed on. But everyone, that receiving of the faith and the passing on of it, it requires much more than just repeating what perhaps your parents or even the priest has told you week after week after week. That's not enough, everyone. To just, I learned about the faith, and just repeating it. But instead, it's having to, if that faith is going to be held on to, and if it's going to be passed on, it's having to answer the question that Jesus put to his apostles, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Not just who have other people told you that I am. That's important. Who have your parents taught you that I am? Who have you learned about from different talks or podcasts or your friends about who I am? Okay, that's good. But Jesus goes to the second question, not just who do people say that I am, who do you say that I am? Do you know me? Because this more foundational question is the thing that's required to both receive the faith deeply, not just the externals of it. That's good. Yes, that you practice the faith, that you teach your children to pray, that is something that you do in your life. But the more foundational thing, and the thing that gives all of that life, is being able to answer, who do you say that I am? Am I real to you? Or am I just something that someone has taught you about? This nice idea, this thing that, you know what, that would be a really great thing to have in my life because it brings meaning and purpose. Yes, it does, but it's something deeper than that. In the gospel, Jesus does begin by asking his apostles, who do people say that I am? Who does the culture say that I am? What does public opinion say? And they say lots of respectful answers. That you're a great prophet, you're a marvelous teacher. And most people in our culture, most, they would say many nice things about Jesus. Sure. But then he points the question to them in this personal way. Okay, that's who everyone says I am. But you, who do you say that I am? And it's Simon, the fisherman, a simple man. He is a simple man who answers, you are the Son of the living God. You are Jesus Christ, who is Lord over everything. And this is when he renames him. He renames him rock, Petrus. You are Peter, you are rock, and upon this rock, this profession of faith, and upon you, I will build my church. And right in Rome, directly above St. Peter, where he is buried, is St. Peter's Basilica, the Pope's church. But Peter, he says, that wasn't revealed to him because Peter had figured it out. It wasn't revealed to him because he got in a deep late-night conversation with Andrew, one of the other apostles, and Andrew convinced him. No, Peter came to be able to point to Jesus and say, you are the Lord, you are the living God, because it was revealed to him by God, and that came because he was with him. He was called by Jesus, yes, but he had spent time with him. He came to know him deeply as a friend. He came to see what Jesus had done even in his own life up till then. And this is the same for every one of us too, isn't it? That the way we come to know and the way we're able to answer that question that Jesus poses, who do you say that I am? There's nothing magical or mystical about it. It's about spending time with him. It's about speaking to him. There's no textbook. There's no podcast that's going to convince you of all this or show on EWTN. That's good. Those are good things. But it's Jesus himself who's going to reveal that to you. And he does this, when we seek him and seek him. All the names that you see in these windows, they've all passed now. And soon we will as well. But everyone who closes their eyes for the last time in this life, when we open them again, we will stand before Jesus face to face, and he will ask us a similar question once more. Who do you say that I am? It's our moment of judgment. We're face to face with him. Who do you say that I am? Am I a stranger to you? Am I just someone you've heard about through hearsay from others, good people? Or am I someone that you know? The one whom you've come to know as a friend, the one for whom your heart longs for, the one whom when you've looked for saviors in all different parts of the world, you've come to see that no, they are not at all that. There is only one savior, and that is you, and you are my savior. Who do you say that I am?